Hey, good morning. How you doing? Wednesday it is, July 31st, 2019, and it's grim up north. Very grim, miserable old morning. So it is, to be sure. It's horrible in Salford and Greater Manchester. It's been bucketing down overnight. How you doing? This is the YouTube daily stream where we take a look at the front pages of the newspapers. And we have a glance inside as well to see what the papers are covering today. And sometimes, more importantly, what the newspapers are not covering. It's always interesting what they're not covering. Straight to the chat then for a brief good morning. How you to Lewis Stephen? How you doing? Lewis is on holiday in France at the moment, but it's going to try and catch up on the Wicked podcast. Thank you, mate. What's your thoughts on extraterrestrials? Would love your view on things. They discover planets, don't they? Every other year, 60, 70. I think yesterday they announced the discovery of two planets about 70 million light years away. Now hang on a second. 70 light years away. Yeah, that might be more accurate. And, or maybe it is 70 million. No, 70 light years away. Yeah, of course, preposterous to imagine those planets wouldn't have life. I'm very interested in kind of inter-dimensional terrestrials. You know, things that move between dimensions. The unseen. You know, things that might be closer than 70 light years away. But yeah, these are things I'd like to explore more in the program. But not having any great grounding in the research, it's difficult for me. But I'm going to try and do more on that. Hi to Danny Warden. How you doing, Danny? To Jack Woolley. How you doing, Jack? See the DNC case against WikiLeaks. Trump 2016 election was thrown out today, our time. About time some good news re WikiLeaks, says Jack. Cheers, Jack. Pierrot Pepe Vasseau says that his dog took a dump in his bedroom and the smell woke him up just in time for the Richie Allen show. Well, considering how crap this is, that's an appropriate thing to happen, I would suggest. Hi to Anonymous in Western Massachusetts, to Yarlin Zay, to Rose Williams, to Nick Farrell, to Jennifer Garcia, to Julie Walters. Jennifer says, Richie, a tea with you and Jazz would be awesome. Just an idea. A t-shirt. I don't know about that, Jennifer. Who'd want to wear a t-shirt with me on it and the Jazz woman? Peace Dreamerable, good morning. 5G. Talking about 5G with Alana Freeland on the programme later on tonight. She's a researcher I have a lot of time for. Hi to William in Scotland. It's damp and it's cool at 17 degrees Celsius. Jason Hardy, good morning, Jason. To Bruce Carey, who's in Cleveland, Ohio. How you doing, Bruce? To Mike Hunt. How you doing, Mike? Tom Maudsley in Chorley. Chorley FM coming in your ears. Love that. Heather Thunderhawk, Claire Bear. Well, if you've got no sound, Claire, just turn the volume up on your computer. You see there in the bottom right-hand corner of your screen, you see that icon that looks like, what does it look like? What does mine look like? Looks like a little bell. Just click on that. Hi to Rasputin's Ghost, Threta Glumberg, Sooty's Rehab. Sharon Gale, how you doing, Sharon? In Portsmouth there. It's sunny down. It's always sunny down there. The Durnavarian, Lawrence King, Gale, John Sheridan, William Gibson, Kelly Reid. Rained cats and dogs, but it's sunny in Paisley today. Paul Burchell, Graham Farmer, Aid Bate. How you doing, Aid? In St. Helens, how you doing, pal? Rugby League, get in. Glenn Samuel, Nick Shepherd. How you doing, Nick? Nice to hear from you, Nick. Patrick Vidian. John and Sarah Stott in Madchester. How you doing, John and Sarah? Cassie Barkley, Scottish Bull. This live stream is a shit show, says Scottish Bull. Yes. Of course it is. Curly Perm too. Curly Perm. God be with the days of the 1980s when every woman, every young boy's mother had a perm. Do you remember? Did it occur to any of these women that every other woman was going to the hairdressers and saying, give me a perm? Do you remember when body waves were all the rage? Oh, jeez. I remember my mother, I'm going to the hairdressers to get a body wave. Anyway, Marvellous. Tommy Tempo won. I'm going to stop now. Tuatha Dé Danann. Wadjin Watt did. Chris Morrell, Mark Best, and Paul Birchall. Again, Paul. I'm not getting into that, Paul. I've had my say on that before. I don't think anybody sucks. It's just somebody I'm not interested in. And I reserve the right to be interested in whom I am interested in and uninterested in whom I'm uninterested in. And you get to choose whether you watch me or not. It's wonderful. We live in a world with choices. Ollie Burton. Ollie's got an important job interview today. Ollie, good luck, mate. All the best. Sincerely. Just be yourself, my friend. Let me give you a little tip about going for job interviews. Glasses come off, so it's serious stuff. Always look the interviewer. Candidates should always look the interviewer in the eye. Always maintain eye contact with them. That's a good tip. It's a good tip in life when you're speaking to anybody. Look them in the eye. Be sincere. Just be yourself. And I think if you be yourself, Ollie, you'll be all right, pal. Simple as that. Good luck with that. Let us know how you get on, by the way. And did you delete your Twitter account? Did you? Because I'm advising people to delete their Twitter. Right. Let's jump into the papers then. Yeah. Ooh. What's in the papers? That's a pile of old shite today. Like it is any day, I suppose. Pile of old shite there now. Harry, wake up to racism, says the Duke of whatever the fuck that he is the Duke of. He gave an interview to Vogue because his missus has guest edited it. And he was interviewed by some conservationist woman who's in her 90s, apparently. And he says that we all have unconscious bias. Now, black people have accused me of this before. Not me particularly, but white people and my audience. I've had black people tell me through the medium of email, whether you like it or not, Richie, whether you like it or not, you've got unconscious bias. You know, you've even admitted that you don't have any black friends. Well, I do. I have Mwinga. And I have William E. Smith now in America. I have two. But I didn't grow up around any effing black people. If I did, I'm sure I'd have been mates with them as well. Because when I was younger, all I cared about was, do you like football, do you? Do you play football? Do you play with marbles? We called marbles Chinese. Do you play with Chinese? Why did we call marbles Chinese in Ireland? Were we racist against the Chinese? Were we? We called them Chinese. So that was my whole thing. You know, to qualify as being somebody that I'd hang around with when I was 7 or 8 years of age. Do you play football? Do you play marbles? Do you like Star Wars? Yeah, Return of the Jedi. That was it, really. What you looked like, I couldn't give a shite. We went to school with Vietnamese kids whose parents were refugees, and we didn't give a damn. This unconscious bias thing is a load of, say it with me children, monumental fucking bollocks. Well said. Nonsense. Unconscious bias. Give over. We'll come back to that. I'll tell you a story in a few minutes. It might make you laugh. Daily Express, Harry opens up on racism. Harry's qualified now because he's married to a mixed race chick. Chick. Who says chick anymore? So now he, you know, he's entitled now to talk about racism because he's married to a mixed race woman. Dickhead. The Mirror. Harry. Harry, huh? What a guy. What a cad. What a cad, Harry. Yes, Harry is talking about racism. Did you see that, Julian? Did you? This is the same Harry that dressed up as a Nazi, like his granddad. Yes, talking about racism. Harry will only have two children to help save the world. He's a real beauty, this guy, isn't he? Yeah. In this interview, this woman who interviewed him, this conservationist woman, said to him, do you plan on having any more children? Harry said, yeah. And the old woman, conservationist, said, only one now, hopefully. And Harry went, yeah, only one more. To save the world. His granddad once said, "If I could come back as anything, I would come back as a virus to wipe out humanity." Yes. Yes. Racism, huh? This is the dickhead, Prince Philip. This fucker who drives onto a main road in a Range Rover at 70 miles an hour. Nearly kills a woman. This is the guy who goes to Australia and meets with Aboriginal people and says to them, "Are you still chucking spears at one another? Are you? Are you?" And he's talking about unconscious racism. Now he's saying he only wants to have one more kid. Please only have one more. The country doesn't need any more fucking parasites like your fucking brother. His brother is on holiday at the moment, paying 27,000 fucking pounds a week for a villa. And it's coming out of your pocket and my pocket. So please don't have any more kids, you parasitic alien thing. Dreadful. Unconscious racism. The Sun, only one Sprogmore at Frogmore. We're only going to have one more. We're not. We don't hate the Earth like my brother and his wife. They hate planet Earth. They keep having children. Yeah. You know, I don't have to tell you, you see, there are things between you and me that we leave unsaid. You know why all this is happening. You know why there are stories on the BBC website today. Go to bbc.co.uk/news if you don't believe me. There are stories about women saying we're being pressurised to have children and we don't want to. The system doesn't want us to procreate in the way that we used to do. Part of what agenda? Yes. Yes. My bastard brother keeps having babies. Oh. The Times. I told you the climate thing would be relentless, didn't I? It's relentless. It is relentless. And I said it would be. And it's not going to stop. The 10 hottest years on record have occurred since 2002. There you are. There's a story. Here it is in the Times. There's the actual Times story. I subscribe to the Times now. What do you spend the money we donate to the programme on, Richie? Subscriptions to newspapers like this. Streaming costs, of course. And all the rest of it. Your money is spent wisely. So this is just, again, monumental bollocks. Okay? The average global temperature is not rising significantly. This is true. Japanese and Finnish, I'm going to keep saying it, scientists have concluded that man is not contributing anything to warming. The warming is natural. We are still on the downside coming out of the last ice age. This is true. They're saying all over the news this morning, it's going to get hotter and wetter in the summer. So over the next few summers, it's going to get hotter and wetter. Hotter and wetter. And that's climate change, man. And to say anything else is to be a climate denier. It's a phrase they keep using. Climate denier. It's going to be like Holocaust denier. Not quite. They won't put you in jail for denying the climate, but they'll try to ridicule you denying climate change. They'll try and destroy you and discredit you and make you out to be some sort of awful, disgusting, untouchable type character. The way they've tainted people who deny the Holocaust. Now, I've always said it. People who deny the Holocaust are either total fucking idiots or they're just wrong. Right? I've always said that. I wouldn't be jailing people for stuff. And I certainly don't think just because you took the position that the Holocaust didn't happen, it doesn't mean for me that you're some sort of untouchable, unapproachable, awful person who must be exiled. No, I'm sorry. No, that's not the way it works. We share the planet with people whom we disagree, and we accept their right to think what they want to think. I have my own issues with the Holocaust in terms of the exploitation of it. And I've explained this dozens of times, so I'm not going to get into it now. And we'll leave that alone. But yeah, if you don't believe it, you're dangerous. Is the theme now that's running around this reporting of climate change. You're a danger. So academic people, people working around children, anybody in authority, this is an opinion you can't have. You can't be of the opinion that man-made climate change isn't happening, because that's dangerous now. And I got into this briefly on the radio show last night. You've got all these people now screaming, all these younger people, all these woke people. It's a new phrase that's entered our lexicon. Woke. They're woke, these people, these younger folks, these fucking idiots. Drives me mad. Ignorance is celebrated now. You know, it's a wonderful world we live in where ignorance and fucking stupidity is celebrated. You know, this is what narcissism does. Nobody has any sense of self. No self-awareness. I will go onto a public platform and I will talk bollocks about climate change and I won't know anything about it. But my identity group says that the planet is going to burn to the ground and it's because of all the older fucking people, and I'm just going to scream that from the rooftops. I'm not going to look into it myself. I'm not going to educate myself in any way. I'm just going to opine loudly and scream at people and block people and demand change. But I know nothing. I'm a 44-year-old guy. I remember a time in my early days in radio when people, guests, would-be guests, commentators, would repeatedly turn down invitations to speak and would be honest enough to say, I don't really know a lot about that. I've got to kind of have a look into that. I hear this and I hear that, but I'm not sure. Today's generation of narcissistic fucking snowflakes, millennials, no. No barrier. A complete lack of knowledge is no fucking barrier to going on Twitter, Instagram or YouTube to tell the whole world what's really happening. But arsehole, you don't know. Somebody fucking told you that the world is going to burn to the ground and that it's the fault of your parents and your grandparents, and you were happy to take that. Because you're a victim now. All your life you'll be a victim. Need to be taken care of by the state, by the apparatuses of the state, and that suits you down to the ground. You're prepared to live like that for the rest of your life. It's dreadful. Hi to N64 Danny from Canada. How you doing, pal? Hi to A.U. Kekovic. How you doing, pal? Hi to Jean-Anne Crowley, the one and only. Options never as interesting as ideas, says Jean-Anne. Absolutely right. To Norfolk Iceni, to Martin958, to Charlotte Bins, and to David Bramble. How you doing, David? All the UN computer climate global warming predictions have proved wrong despite fiddling the data. Yes, all the UN computer climate global warming predictions have proven to be wrong. Conclusively. This is a fact. Kazi says HARP controls the climate. Blasting the ionosphere and charging it using devices like HARP, Kazi. You're right, it definitely has an effect on the Gulf Stream. We know this. You've only got to look at some of the guests that I've been interviewing now for nearly 10 years on various programs. My great friend Nick, of course, in Alaska. And many more. Of course it's having an effect, and that's what Dan Wigington does well. Dan says, yeah, on some level man is affecting climate change through the use of geoengineering and through the use of weather modification devices, undoubtedly. I remember having an argument with Nick about 3.5 years ago, and I called him back afterwards to say, I didn't quite get what you were saying there, but you're right, so I apologise. And we picked it up on later programmes. He's due to come back on the show, Dane Wigington. It's been a long time. This is all true. They don't know, these kids. It's dreadful. And that's an important thing I'm telling you. This is profound. This paradigm is, you know, again, for anthropologists, what a time to be alive, to see people, to see facts being completely irrelevant. Feelings trump facts. I believe, because I want to believe, that all my problems are because of my parents and grandparents. I can't get a house, it's their fault. Can't get a job, their fault. They're retiring too late. The climate screwed up, it's their fault. We're the young people, we're the innocents. We didn't do anything to anybody, we're victims. We demand change now. Did you see those papers from Japan and from Finland, did you? No, of course, you're not going to read them. No, of course not. No. Let's leave that one alone. Sure, it is only mad. The Telegraph. Facebook is threatening to hinder police, says Priti Patel, the new Home Secretary. Israel's woman. Israel's woman in the British government. Priti Patel, huh? Should have been arrested on suspicion of spying. This woman, when she was the International Development Secretary, taking holidays in Israel on the sly. It's a lovely Irish saying. Excuse me. On the sly. On the QT, meeting with the Israeli government, unknown to her own Prime Minister and to her own Foreign Secretary. You see, you know, anybody else, you think if it was any other country, I think she would have been debriefed by MI6, dear listener, dear viewer. Not Priti, though, Israel's woman, right at the heart of it. She's harping on today about the fact that the intelligence agencies and the police can't get access to people's private messaging on Facebook when they really need to. Yeah, we know where that one goes, don't we? The Guardian, ministers accused of dereliction of duty over youth crime emergency. That's in all the papers today, and it's making all the news programmes. Knife crime and violence, inner cities, London, it's horrendous. I've nothing to say about it because I'd be here all day, but it's dreadful. Shoes, New Hope, Daily Star, 7-time Formula One champion Michael Schumacher. Formula One fans reckon he's one of the all-time great drivers. He had a terrible accident when he was skiing a few years ago and he's not been well since then. His family have been very private, haven't they? They've been very private, as is their right, of course. One or two people saying today that he might be doing better than people think. Good luck to him and to his family. The iPaper, feathers fly over future of Ireland. Boris Johnson is in Northern Ireland this morning, meeting with Arlene Foster and other... he's meeting Sinn Féin politicians. He's sworn to try and get power sharing restarted, to get the government back up and running. It's been suspended for 2.5 years now, of course. Basically because Sinn Féin believe that Arlene Foster is unfit. Well, she's certainly unfit. Stop it, Richie. No room for misogyny on this programme. Financial Times. That's the sort of thing, if I said that on commercial radio, you're gone. That's brilliant. Don't even clear out your desk. We'll clear it out for you. Financial Times. Johnson set to pledge billions for new hospitals and tackling social care crisis. Centrica chief to depart as energy group fights to stem revenue falls. About gas. The Mail. Now turn full force of law on Nick Police. Told you this would be relentless too, didn't I? Didn't I tell you? Didn't I tell you they would never let this go? This is full scale, full on programming about this Carl Beach. Got into this last night with Tony Gosling on the radio show, which is on YouTube, Podomatic, iTunes and Spotify now. And the Truth Seeker app. The Truth Seeker app. Marvellous. By the way, check out TriggerWarning.tv, Hayden Hewitt, Graham Booth. TriggerWarning.tv, the YouTube channel as well. The lads are excellent. They put out some excellent stuff. Messers, the two of them, proper messers. And they do great work as well, serious stuff. So there's a story inside the Mail today, and it's about the search of former Home Secretary Leon Britton's house. He was Home Secretary under Margaret Thatcher, the paedophile Protector General Margaret Thatcher. Picture the moment the heavy mob moved in on Britton's home. as the victims of the fantasist Nick demand full force of the law be turned on the police. This emerged yesterday. Sir Richard Henriques, one of the judges who was duped into allowing these searches, duped allegedly, has recommended a criminal investigation of the police, because when the police went to get the warrants, apparently the police knew that Carol Beach wasn't consistent, but they told the judges this guy is consistent. At least that's the narrative anyway. So the Mail is going on and on about Leon Britton. And his wife, of course, like Greville Janner's son, is squawking a lot about how terrible it is that Britton, his name has been smeared and he's dead and there's nothing he can do to defend himself against these claims. And of course, there's a little bit of truth in that, and you'd be a hard-hearted bastard if you didn't have a little bit of sympathy for the families of Greville Janner and for the family of Leon Britton, particularly if they believe the men were innocent. But no mention is made in the Daily Mail today, of course, dear viewer, of the fact that Leon Britton, is the Home Secretary who happened to lose the dossier handed to him in 1983 by an MP called Geoffrey Dickens. And the dossier had a list of names on it of MPs who were not suspected of, but whom were known to be abusing children. He lost the dossier. Lost it. Got it all here. Geoffrey Dickens. Paedophile information exchange. Geoffrey Dickens campaigned morning, noon and night to expose the paedophile information exchange, who wanted to campaign for the age of consent to be lowered to 4. This is true. None of this is untrue. And let me tell you something else about Leon Britton. Leon Britton, when meeting with Geoffrey Dickens now, remember, this is the guy who lost the Dickens dossier. When he was meeting with Geoffrey Dickens, we know this because the BBC filed a Freedom of Information request in 2015, and the BBC were able to secure the minutes of the meeting between then Home Secretary Leon Britton and Geoffrey Dickens MP. Geoffrey Dickens MP said to Leon Britton, "This paedophile exchange, Geoffrey, it's fucking evil. It's sick. It is sick, Home Secretary. Home Secretary, it's just sick. And it's dreadful." And Leon Britton objected. He said to Geoffrey Dickens, and I quote, "I have to raise the fundamental objection to banning an organisation, that if members of the organisation were doing a mischief, we should ban the mischief, but we shouldn't ban the organisation. If some members of the Paedophile Information Exchange are doing some mischief, well, we should cut out the mischief, but not ban the organisation itself." Who says that? Home Secretary, there is an organisation full of people who like to bugger children, do unspeakable things to children. We have to get rid of them. Home Secretary, it has to be stopped, proscribed, right? Well, I mean, maybe not, was Leon Britton's response. So, Lady Britton, all right, yeah, you have a point. He's not around to defend himself, but he was an evil bastard, love, wasn't he? And how do you lose a dossier like that? How do you lose that? It's not like a fucking set of car keys now, is it, Turkish? It's not like a fucking set of car keys. It's a dossier with names of child rapists on it. Yeah, I lost it, yeah. Don't know where I put it. Ah, shit, it's mad. We should ban the mischief, but not ban the organisation itself, you know. Albert Neville says, if you could build a paedophile, it would look like Leon Britton. The 51 Project says, I looked into all this too. It makes me so angry. The world is still the way it is. How many men and women in the police do all this research and do nothing but listen to Maggie Oliver? You have some great men and women in the police. You see, you can't, I've been saying this since I've been doing radio shows. You can't look at an organisation like journalism or the police and say that everybody working in it is part of some collective to prop up the system. No, within it there are really good people. Maggie Oliver had the cojones. She had the ovaries to go public and say, look what they're doing. At the top, we've got all this evidence of the grooming gangs, the Pakistani men, and what they're doing. And the police are, my superiors are just burying it. So within these organisations, there are good people. Harriet Harman, says Lawrence King. Yes, lobbied for this group many, many moons ago. Yeah. Wow. You know? Mad. Thanks for the nice words about Jonathan Royle. Certainly open up my eyes, says Muj Dawood. Yeah, I found it fascinating. I picked up a lot from that last night. It was very, very interesting. That. And we'll have Jonathan back again because there are other areas we can get into with him. Some of you on Twitter brought up some interesting questions that were relevant. The future Mrs. Allen gave me a smack when I finished up the programme yesterday. She said, when he brought up JFK, Richie, says Caroline, when he brought up JFK, huh? I don't know what that accent is supposed to be. She said, why didn't you ask him about the moon landings and the possibility that Armstrong and Aldrin and Michael Collins believed and do believe that they were there? And I said, yeah, I could have said that, actually. You know, we're not perfect superstar DJs. It's a good question. And it's probably right. She's onto something there, the future Mrs. Allen. She has some good opinions once or twice every 5 or 6 years, you know. So there was a Democratic debate last night, wasn't there? The Democrats are trying to figure out who's going to go up against Donald Trump next year in 2020. I found it funny, some of it. I watched 10 minutes of it on CNN this morning, the highlights. Made me laugh. This makes me laugh, this stuff. This might trigger some of my black viewers. I don't have many black viewers because black people are racist. Aren't ye? Mad, all this racism stuff, isn't it? You're all racist, aren't ye? Be honest, no. Unconscious bias, huh? This makes me laugh, this. Beto O'Rourke. This guy with the Irish surname. If I'm president, I will sign a reparations bill. There is a reparations bill before Congress at the moment. Some woman has written it. Some Democrat. What's her name again? And it basically proposes compensating the descendants of slaves. Financially compensating them. But this is madness, isn't it? You know? This guy on stage last night said, I want to acknowledge something that we're all touching on, which is the very foundation of this country. That the wealth that we have built, the way we became the greatest country on the face of the planet, was literally on the backs of those who were kidnapped and brought here by force. The legacy of slavery and segregation and Jim Crow and suppression is alive and well in every aspect of the economy and in the country today. As president, I will sign into law a new Voting Rights Act. I will focus on education, address healthcare disparities, but I will also sign into law Sheila Jackson Lee's reparations bill so we can have the national conversation we waited too long in this country to have. It's crazy. It's identity politics. And it's programming and brainwashing of millions of people. You know? Unspeakable things happened to slaves. That is irrefutable. But the notion that 21st century Americans would have to pay for it, compensate the descendants of it. Where does that end? Maybe I should like the idea. Maybe I should start petitioning snowflakes like Stella Creasy. Stella Creasy. Stella Creasy is such a virtuous signaller that if I say, well, as an Irishman, because of what the Crown did to my country over the years and to my grandpappy and my great-grandpappy, I'm entitled to some sort of compensation too, you know, financially. Maybe I shouldn't have to pay taxes in this country. I bet you if enough people went to Stella Creasy, that complete and utter fucktard would take it up. And it's preposterous. It's preposterous, the notion that you, my friend in Scotland, and you, my friend in St. Helens, and anybody else listening in England, should pay me for things that happened, even if it was 30, 40 years ago, 100 years ago, Croke Park, all of that. It's madness. It's lunacy. Identity politics. You know, I know there probably will be some black folks watching this and they'll be pissed off. But I say to black people, and I've always said it, don't be anybody's victim. You are a completely unique, conscious, spiritual being with your own completely unique identity. You've got a brain, you've got skills, you've got a mouth, you've got a voice. Don't let anybody take control of you and speak for you as a means of controlling you and controlling me. Don't be anybody's victim. Stand up for yourself. Don't be a victim. Don't walk around thinking that you're a victim because of the terrible things that happened in the past. I've got a Jewish pal, I really do. And he says the same thing. This thing of vulnerable groups drives him mad. As a Jewish man living in Manchester, I do well, Richie. My family does well. I'm a loud, articulate, smart guy. So is my wife. We can speak for ourselves. We don't need to be protected from stuff. We don't need to be protected from other people's opinions. We can deal with them. And I say the same to black people. Deal with it. Not everything is racist. People are not unconsciously racist. We're not. We don't care, people. We don't. There's enough going on. The stress that we have to put up with. You know, the constant fucking letters coming in the letterbox demanding money. You know, the madness of what we see unfolding. This unsteady, well, it's not steady anymore. It's on steroids now. This encroachment on our private and personal lives by the state. All this stress. We don't have time to hate anybody. We don't. Or be biased against anybody. Real racism is the fundamental belief held deep within you that somebody else of a different ethnicity is less intelligent than you and is less worthy of life than you. That's real racism. You can't find that in very many places. Is what I believe. Do you know who are amazing when it comes to this? Do you know where political correctness doesn't exist, or at least it didn't exist anyway when I lived there? Let me tell you a story. Gather round. I lived in Spain for nearly 9 years. And there was a time when I worked for a start-up radio station that had a lovely set of suites and a studio in the Kempinski Hotel on the Costa del Sol just outside Estepona. In fact, the Kempinski is between Estepona and Marbella, right? Lovely place to work. And I used to go in there and make a show, a live show there every day at 5 o'clock. And I did this after I worked for Talk Radio Europe. And the 5 o'clock show was a conspiracy research show and half of a real news show as well, which is what my monologues are today. We look at the news and we juxtapose what the papers are saying with what other people are saying from a conspiracy research point of view. It's what I like doing. That's what I get my kicks out of doing. Right. So I'm doing this in Spain. And we were a startup. So I did two live radio shows a day. I did a mid-morning show with a black dude called Sonny T. And Sonny was from Panama. He was born in Panama, but you'd never think he was Panamanian because he lived all his life in America. Big guy, gregarious, larger than life, hilariously funny. Very, very smart guy. And we did a nonsense radio show where Sonny and myself sat together for an hour and just chatted shit, basically. But it was massively popular. It was so funny, the show, that we had serious interest in it from the UK, from radio stations in the UK, who wanted to pay me and Sonny to work for them. But Sonny was a free spirit. He was totally mad, Sonny, totally eccentric. And he wanted to travel around the world. He was traveling around the world, and he landed in Spain, and he ended up in Marbella. And at the time, sadly, he wasn't interested in pursuing it. And Sonny went his separate way. The guy was a genius. There are some snippets of me and him talking about stuff. And it's funny stuff. It really is good. It's cutting edge stuff, right? I loved Sonny. So we're in the Kempinski Hotel. And we used to go under the hotel to where the staff canteen was every day for our lunch. And this was comped by the Kempinski. 5-star hotel. Great hotel. Anyway, Sonny and myself used to do this mid-morning show. Laugh ourselves stupid on the radio, and then we would go and have a bit of beautiful food in the Kempinski on the house, right? We're sitting there, and it's full of staff. It's full of cleaners, and receptionists, and security, and lifeguards, and everybody. Sonny and myself are sitting there anyway. Next thing, I still laugh when I think of this, at how sheltered I was, and how politically correct I used to be, because I was conditioned to be that. Sitting down anyway, and we were right near the front door, Sonny and me. And there was a phone there. And the phone rings. And this girl, I remember she was a very pretty girl. I had the hots for Spanish women at the time. Thank God she's not watching, the future Mrs. Allen. No, but seriously, this very pretty girl runs up to the phone, it's ringing. See? And next thing she goes, hey, negro, telefono, negro, right? And this black kid comes running up and takes the phone off her. Politically correct boy, brought up in radio in Ireland. Progressive nonsense. I looks at Sonny. Sonny's not batting an eyelid. And I'm like, what the fuck was that? Did she just call him Blackie? And Sonny says, yeah, dude. I said, she called him Blackie, did she? And he went, yeah. I said, that's a bit much, isn't it? And he went, why? And I said, is it a bit racist? Right. Sonny said, no. It's his nickname. It's his nickname. She works with him. He came up to take the phone off her and he pushed her on the shoulder and she pushed him back and they were laughing. He's not offended by it. But I said, Sonny, if I was to say to you in the corridor, hey, Blackie. And he said, that's different, and you know it's different. And I said, yeah. Negro! Fucking hell. And they have no time for it in Spain. I pursued it a bit further, and they have no time for it. All that political correct nonsense. They referred to each other based on a distinguishable feature. He was black. Negro. And I thought to myself, yeah. All right. Began to think a lot harder then about political correctness and stuff like that. That's a true story. Sonny T. Hey, negro, telefono! Jesus Christ. Yeah. Good stuff. What else have we got for you? In certain parts of America, you might be thinking about your dear old mum who just passed away from dementia. And you might be thinking, I will donate my dear old mum's body to dementia or Alzheimer's research. That's what she would have wanted. But America is a fucking basket case, isn't it? This guy donated his mum's body for Alzheimer's research and it ended up being strapped to a chair and blown up by an IED missile by the US military. Ha ha. Oh, Jesus Christ. And of course, if I knew that man, I wouldn't be laughing. I wouldn't find it funny. If it was me, I wouldn't find it funny. Yes, this is the Arizona Center for Alzheimer's Research, is it? Yes, well, I'm happy to donate my mother's body. The body ends up in the hands of the US military and they blow it to fucking pieces when it's strapped to a chair with an IED, that's an improvised explosive device, children. Because, well, they just want to see what happens to the human body when it's hit by an IED device. What the fuck? That's how your tax dollars are being spent, right? Right? Do you need to fucking smack corpses with IEDs to figure out what happens to the body when it's hit by a fucking IED? Really? Do you really need to do that? That's a conversation that could have cost no money. Professor Barnes? Yes, Professor Smith? I was just wondering, what happens to the human body when it's hit by an MED, by an IED? It fucking disintegrates. Okay, thanks for telling me. Basket case, huh? Basket case of a country. Lunatics. I feel sorry for this guy, Jim Stover. I feel foolish, he says. We shouldn't feel foolish. He didn't do anything wrong. You trust people. And I know we are conscious spiritual beings, and I know when we leave the body, there's nothing left of us. But fucking hell, like. I feel foolish, he told Fox News. You did nothing wrong. You gave a company, a medical research company, your trust, and you said, you know, do some research. My mother would have wanted it. They blew the body up in a fucking chair, and then there was only one of her hands left, and they cremated the hand and sent him the cremated hand in an urn. Jesus Christ Almighty. What a country. Not that it's any better here, anyway. This is going on too long, this nonsense, by the way. I'm aware of this. Going to have to get shorter. America. Fuck yeah. Eh? Only in America. Only in America. Hey, Negro! Yeah. It's getting dark outside now. Thunder is in the offing, I think. El Rico says we're all a bit racist in our own little way. We're not, I don't think. We are conditioned to gather and to move towards people who look like us and sound like us. That's not racism. That's just conditioning. But that isn't racism. That's years and years and years of tribalism. So yeah, we do gravitate towards those who look and sound a bit like us. I'm sure that's true. We're not racist. Nobody's going to tell me I'm racist. You know, I had somebody email me to say, very few black guests on your radio show, Richie. That would be true, actually. There's been one or two this year. By and large, my guests are generally white, European, or white American. It's not because I'm racist. Should I start to specifically look to schedule black guests on the programme? Then you're into positive discrimination then, aren't you? And we've talked about that quite a lot. And we're going to finish today with a brand new segment called They Live Amongst Us. And They Live Amongst Us is a brand new segment about the weird and wonderful people that walk this lonely planet alongside you and me. I see Mwinga is having a good laugh at that line. I'm not racist myself, I just like my own kind. Yeah, but that's not the same as saying that people naturally gravitate towards people who look like them and sound like them. That's a natural thing, right? I would say. It's worth investigating this and digging deeper into it. I accept that. But to say that people are racist is a nonsense. What I have white friends because I don't like black people, or because I'm scared of black people, or I am suspicious of them. Well, that's bollocks. It's fucking bollocks. I never knew black people growing up, very many. They weren't on my radar. And it's the same here. In Fallowfield, 'twas Pakistani Asian families predominantly as my neighbours. In Salford, my neighbours are white people, white middle-aged people and white working people, people who work with kids. Those are my peers now around here. There aren't very many black people. I haven't seen many. What do I do? Do I start approaching black people? They'll think something is up, right? So they live among us. This made me laugh this morning. You're in trouble now. Pennsylvania woman filmed peeing on the potatoes at Walmart turns herself in. Do you recognise this woman? She pissed on the tatties in Walmart. This allegedly happened in the early morning hours last Thursday. If you do recognise her, call the police. West Mifflin police. God love the poor woman. The police believe that she genuinely thought the potato bin was a toilet. So she hitched up her britches, or hitched them down, and had a little tinkle on the potatoes, and then off she went about her business. She's turned herself in now. There was some guy pissing outside a train station yesterday in London, right? Did you see that? And the police were called because the toilets in the train station were open even though they charged 20p. So he pissed on a wall outside the station. The police turned up, gave him a mop, a bucket and some detergent and told him to clean up his piss. They walk amongst us. Oh yeah. That's it then for today. Been a natural seasoning on the spud, says Mwink. But there is a game that people are playing. There is a Twitter game, isn't there? There is an internet game where people go into supermarkets and soil food by licking it or by spitting on it and then posting videos of it. Fuckwits. Yeah, it's going on. Good job. Hi to Sean Hinchcliffe, to Blissa Earth, to Mary Burke. How you doing, Mary? It's after 2 a.m. where Mary is and she needs to sleep. She's laughing hysterically. Yeah. I just refuse to believe in unconscious bias. I understand why some black folks think there is. And, you know, Mwinga's bit of sarcasm has a bit of merit to it. I'm not racist myself. I just prefer my own kind. I don't prefer my own kind. I don't care what people are, what they look like, what they do. I said before, my rules used to be when I was a kid, did you watch Star Wars? Did you play with marbles? Do you like Man United? Well, you'll do for me. My criteria. My 44-year-old self, my criteria is, do you like the cricket? Do you like having a chat? Do you like listening to other people? Do you like talking about stuff? Are you nice? Are you open-minded? Do you get your round in? That's the criteria, not what you look like or where you came from. And that's my truth. And maybe certain people might say, I don't believe you, Richie. Fair enough. I'll never change your mind. I don't know you, so I couldn't give an arse. But it is my criteria. I couldn't possibly take a dislike to somebody because of their religion, because of their race, or because of their sexual orientation. It's just not in me to take a dislike to them because of any of those things. And I think the vast majority of people are the same as me. I really believe that. A bit thirsty. I should have brought some water. Right, I'm out of here. Alana Freeland joins me for an extended interview today. And I'll have a funny and a satirical news roundup before that. It'll be a decent show at 5 p.m. on the usual channels. And tomorrow, terrific show tomorrow. The journalist Anna Breeze returns to the programme. And Pippa King returns to the Richie Allen Show. That's tomorrow, Thursday. And then Friday afternoon, Dean Henderson wings in for a special programme where we talk about Dean Henderson's brand new book. Right? Looking forward to that. So in the meantime, it is goodbye from me. I'm sorry to say that's all for this morning. I'll leave you with this. Join me at 5, usual channels. Thanks for all your messages. Sorry if I didn't mention you.